to Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 27. Now from the sixth hour, it was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now let's go to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple of the we have been focusing our studies on the high being privileged to recently on the value of the death of Christ. God, and of course, to us. And here he is on the cross, God in heaven cannot sit there and rest, and he is interfering, and interfering, and interfering, and interfering. Supernatural, basically, things that are happening. And so, here, first of all, there's darkness from 12 to 3. And then, of course, there's verse 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he opened up the door. Is this again? Oh, yes. Well, very, very briefly, because I have covered some of it. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake. That's another. And the rock rent. That's another. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now,
this is another miracle.
Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, one more verse that I have been going to fairly often, and that is in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I have mentioned before, and I have covered a few sessions, and by God's grace and love, all is well, I will cover some more sessions. And basically, remind us, in this world, regardless of what race, regardless of what nationality, regardless of what language, regardless of what status in society, regardless of what great intellect, there are only two do this to you. Those who are born in Adam and stay in Adam until death, that's one destiny. That's the lake of fire, eventually. And there to be forever and ever, eternally. But then those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, and are in the Lord, then we, our destiny is heaven itself, where He is, to be with Him forever and ever. So it's two destinies. Doesn't make any difference where a person is from. Doesn't make any difference, like I said. So there are two destinies. We're all born in Adam, but then we have a wonderful, wonderful choice to make, and that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, and then be reconciled unto God. Now, but as we have, as I have meditated, and we do it every Sunday as we remember the Lord's death till He comes, I kept thinking over and over and over about the death or the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so afraid, I'm talking about myself basically, that a lot of times we come to the place of prayer meeting and we somehow, we're not really, really, really that great, or I'm not really that great, you may be impacted at times. At times I am, at times I'm just so impacted. And at times maybe I'm not as impacted as I should be. But this has led me to bring basically that scene of Calvary and the things that happened while He was crucified on the cross. I have covered some of those things. The darkness. 3 hours of darkness in which the Lord Jesus Christ, His very soul, becomes an offering for our sins. The thing is, how is it that we could just confess our sins and receive our Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, that our sins will be forgiven and we will be heaven bound eternally? Well, it's because of what transpired on the cross. It's because of the value of what took place on the cross of Calvary. It's because of the value of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, we have that covered. The darkness. But then we also cover the fact that when it was time, after He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then after that, in verse 50, and He cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. This is another miracle. Because think about all the agonies in the garden. Think about all the loss of blood that He has suffered, being on the tree on Calvary's cross for 6 hours, just bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And think about Him being scourged and buffeted and crammed with thorns. And think about being nailed to that cruel cross for 6 hours, to speak with so loud a voice. More than human. It's that He gave up the ghost. He gave up. He died freely and voluntarily, willingly. The Spirit. He laid it down. He said, guess what? That's why Father wanted me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Will that take it from me? I laid down myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. But this commandment that I received of my Father, which is in heaven, God is putting it here again and empower His Son to give up the ghost, and then, of course, willingly to give it, dismiss the Spirit, but then again, as Lord of it, begin to beginning to freely to be an offering and a sacrifice. Think about that. Now, so then, the other thing that happens that God interferes, not the accident, but just God interferes, and that is, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Just at the time where Christ spoke and gave us the spirit of the opening chapter, maybe. But that was the time of the offering, up of the evening incense, where the priest would go into the holy place and offer up incense on the altar of incense. And all of them, he sees this. He says, behold, behold, turn aside and see this great sight. What happened? How could this happen? Great length, there was great, great thickness, and of course, this was rent from top to bottom. Notice that 40 cubits, 60 feet, tearing down, signified, of course, the rending of Christ's body. This is my body which is broken for you. The breaking of his body for us, which was typified by the veil. So, this denotes certainly the termination of the ceremonial law, and also signifies the uniting of Jew and Gentile. It points out, of course, the way to the holiness of all is now heaven open, and that is heaven itself, and in which a portable gift was configured. Another miracle. Now, heaven is made manifest and is accessible to everyone that comes
to the Lord Jesus Christ.
First, of course, through Christ, who entered in by his own blood as our own poor runner. Fantastic! The Lord coming down. Can't hold back. Telling the priest, yes, the veil is gone. The ceremonial law has ended. The shadow is gone. The great figure, the real antitype, is here. And he has accomplished salvation by giving up his life for us guilty sinners on the way to hell in the Lord's eternity. And then it says, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Not only Mount Calvary, but where Christ was crucified, but the whole land. There was a terrible, terrible earthquake. I think I have experienced some minor earthquakes back in the old country when I was a kid. All I know is it was scary. There is nothing like standing there and being so helpless when you see something get shaken. Very quick. Extremely helpless. So here there was an earthquake on the whole land. And of course, this earthquake signified at least two things. One is the wickedness of Christ crucified. The earth, by trembling under such a Lord, bore the innocency of Christ who was persecuted by them. And against the terrible act of those that persecuted him. You see, God does not want to die. He is long suffering to us and is not willing that any should perish. But believe me, when that wonderful provision is not received, and that is the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by confessing our sins, God is going to look back and is going to just in fury pour upon all those who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. Wickedness of Christ crucified. There was never in the whole creation, anyone who groaned under such a burden as the Son of God crucified, and the guilty wretches that crucified him, and the divine detestation of it. I think about that. God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful God, he is the giver of life and breath and all things. In him we live and walk and have our being. And I think about it. Here, his son, his beloved son, and here these wicked hands persecuting and killing his son. And here's what I think. In my own limited capability, what would I feel like doing if somebody was bringing the slightest injury to one of my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, anyone here? What would I be doing? What would the old man in me would be doing? When the Son of God being persecuted in the very hands of those that he's coming to save. God is shaking. Shaking. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered an infinite suffering of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, yet for 3 hours. But those who reject him, who don't receive him as their own personal Savior and Lord, they're going to suffer, not infinite suffering, but why not suffering? Eternally. Forever and ever and ever. The earthquake, as it were, as if to open its mouth and swallow up those who put him to death. We see that even for much, much lesser wickedness, much lesser crime. We see Dathan and Abiram, Korah. The earth split open and they just fell and just came together and covered. In the darkness, the blind may not feel the darkness, but the blind is going to feel that shaking of that earthquake. The earthquake also signified the fatal blow to the devil's kingdom and an assault on all hellish and diabolical powers, because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfied all of God's demands concerning our sins. He made it to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only we had a quake, an earthquake, but then it says the rocks rent. Here again, God comes, not just earthquake, earth shaking, but rocks rending. That's a very fearful thing when you see it's just a... If you want to go to California, Yosemite, and the water, huge rocks. And there are a lot of rocks in the Middle East. A lot of rocks. In fact, they're very, very rocky over there. That's why it's very easy to grab a stone and stone somebody to death. Stones all over. Rocks rending. It's talking of divine wrath and fury. We see that in Nahum. Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. Who can stand his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The rocks rent. Hear the Lord Jesus hanging on that cross. And of course, it's also again a rebuke of the hardness of the Jews. They were so unmoved, even when the rocks were so unmoved, that they would go to Pilate and say, "Listen, his disciples said, we want to make sure that this guy is in the grave and he stays there. He stays there forever. So callous, so unmoved. Even when the rocks rent. And of course, it's also an emblem of the future conversion of many in the because of the consequence of Christ's death. Even the rocks, even the hearts as hard as rocks, were broken in pieces and stony hearts taken away. You remember that? Here's Peter, the fisherman, one time he denied the Lord three times. I don't know the man. Cursing and swearing. I know not the man. And all the Lord Jesus has to do is just look at him. He goes out and cries bitterly. And then, in the early part of Acts, he is preaching. And here these hearts, hard as rocks, stony hearts, taken away. 3,000 being pricked at the heart under Peter's sermon as a distance. Yeah, the rocks rent, even the heart. And I doubt not at all that some of those hearts belong probably to those people who were crying away with him, crucify him, crucify him. And now they're bowing the knee to that person and they crucify him. Said, you desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you kill the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. 3,000. Saul of Tarsus, so enraged, thinking that he's doing God's service, going from house to house and leading those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ into prisons and trying to destroy him, falls on the dirt on the road to Damascus where vandals just travel. Dirt road, unclean. There he is blinded all of a sudden. So why is it that you persecute me? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, without persecution. Soul of Tarsus. Then, another fantastic miracle, again, God putting his approval on the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and raising from the dead. You have the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Amazing. After the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there he was, being seen by his disciples, brothers and others, even Saul of Tarsus, of course. When he was in heaven, Saul saw him, and he testified that he had seen him. And he could say, I did it in ignorance. And yet when he saw the vision, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The graves were open, and many the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after, of course, his resurrection and appeared unto many. These were Old Testament saints. Again, God proving over and over and over the power, the saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not the animals who were slaughtered in the Old Testament had the power to redeem. But they could only basically typify the one with the greatest of power to redeem, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died, and he rose again, and a lot of the saints of the Old Testament rose and began to walk in the streets, proving that the Lord Jesus Christ, by dying, conquered death, disarmed completely death, and disabled death. Yet people rose and walking. The Old Testament saints walking and showing themselves to everybody. Present trophies of the victory of Christ's death over the power of death. He indeed was the first fruit. The first fruit died. And God couldn't help but just interfere and come in. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus, his son, his beloved son, to go through that terrible, terrible death without showing to people his detestation of what they were doing. And yet he was giving them a chance, another chance. Look at my son. Look at the value of his death. And you better receive him as your personal Savior and Lord. Having by death destroyed him, that was the power of death, that is the devil. The devil. And that was absolutely necessary that Lord Jesus Christ destroyed the devil and his work. It was absolutely necessary. Brothers and sisters, had the devil gotten away with what he did when he deceived Adam and Eve, when the whole world became sinners, by his deception, had he gotten away then he would have defiled the purposes of God. And God's purpose for man can never be overcome by the devil. Even if it says the death, the very death of his son, the very death of the Godhead bodily to come down and die on the cross to crush the head of this serpent. He had to do it. And that's the only way. That's the only way that God's purposes continue to be accomplished. He led captivity captive and fulfilled the scripture where it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. That's in Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. So by virtue of Christ's resurrection, the bodies of all the saints shall, in the fullness of time, rise again. Brother Glenn used to sit right here on the second row, and he'll rise again. Brother John Neal passed away recently. He'll rise again in body. Well, he's in spirit with the Lord right now, to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. It's only because the Lord Jesus Christ overcame the devil and destroyed him. The devil is a mortally wounded person, and one day he's going to find himself in the lake of fire, to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. And then you have, and I'm not going to start this, but just to mention it, then you have the conviction of the enemies that were employed in the execution. And that makes another tremendous miracle. Tremendous miracle. The persons convicted, look who was convicted, the centurion. And his company, he's a captain. Brothers and sisters, these people were hardened people. Very hardened. Crucified so many people, just pulling these nails and pushing them, just hammering in their hands and feet, and lifting them up and sitting there and just playing games and waiting for them to die. And to expedite death, they're going to just break the legs. Didn't make any difference. Hardened. They were convinced. I have met at least three men who told me that they served in the special forces in the military in this country. Special forces. They were so hard. They don't talk about it that much, but one of them once in a while would tell me. Their job was to find the enemy in his words. In his word, and blow their brains out. Pardon. And he was complaining. He says, here, they're sending some of us over there to be peacekeepers. He said, what do we know about keeping peace? We are trained to kill. Hard. These people are hardy people. And yet he is confessing, very hardened people. Romans, Gentiles, were not aware of the scripture at all, which were now fulfilled. They were the Gentiles softened and hardened. Oh, thank God. Thank God for the death of the Lord Jesus. Here you have the centurion and his followers breaking down. And here you have hardened people serving special forces. I speak to some of them about the Lord. And some of them get saved. These have not. But we used to speak to people at the 82nd Airborne Division in Fayetteville, North Carolina, or right close by. And a lot of those kids got saved. A lot of them got saved, thank God. We used to go to Fayetteville, and of course that was a big effort going on. And we just used to go, and Brother Edwards had a place, and a lot of those people got saved. But I want to tell you, what other category of people that are very, 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 very hardy people? And those are the doctors who perform abortions. I have heard, brothers and sisters, the saddest stories of how some of these babies. We need to pray for people in special forces. We need to pray for people. Doctors who are so eager to go and just abort and to go to the innocent little dark room. Thank God for the work, which work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are not pleasant things to talk about, but they're kind of necessary. We need to go to God. We need to plead for forgiveness for this country. We need to plead for forgiveness for just a lot of times just kind of being too complacent. But just go on forward. Ask the Lord continually to bless us and strengthen us spiritually, keep us safe, and make us good stewards and men for Christ's sake. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time you have given us to be able to again bring before us the value of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not as you look down from heaven, but also, Heavenly Father, that we would be aware of what our salvation course.